Matthew chapter 5, and let's read verse number 8, and then we'll pray and get into our message. It says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Lord, we again are grateful to be able to be assembled together this morning. Lord, I'm thankful that we can hold in our hands a copy of the Word of God and study it and read it and know what it is that you expect from each and every one of us. Lord, I'm grateful that the Word of God was preached to give me the opportunity to be saved. Lord, I pray that this church, until you come, would be a gospel-preaching church giving sinners, lost people, the opportunity to be saved themselves. And Lord, I pray that this church would also be one that's decidedly biblical, that preaches the truths of the Word of God, that your people might truly find help. Lord, there's a lot of philosophies and things in this world of ours, but there's only one thing really worth following, and that's thy word. And God, as I preach from this book of the Bible, this section of this book, and this passage this morning, help us. Lord, we're living in a world that is anything but pure. And yet you've called upon us to live pure lives. God, help us to understand what that means, and then yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, that we would be pure of heart. And Lord, as such, help us to be able to gaze upon you in a special way. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, our text says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." I must admit at the beginning of this message that maintaining purity in our generation and in our world today is something that is extremely difficult. Socially, it is acceptable to be impure. I mean, it's put on display in the world, impurity and sensuality. I mean, everywhere we turn, we have corporations and such trying to play on our fleshly lusts, which causes us to be impure. And so there's temptations all around us. And so in our generation, it is very difficult to maintain purity. Outward purity, but especially purity of heart. But I believe that it's always been difficult for God's people to be pure of heart. While there are some sins that are much more out in the open today than they were in previous generations in America, those sins have always been around. And there always comes a point in time in every society where they come out of the closet, if you will. And there have been Christians who have strived and who have successfully lived pure lives in the light of an impure culture. And I'm confident that God has given to us everything that we need to have a pure heart as well. As I read through the Beatitudes, as we call them, there's not a lot of context that is given to help us to understand specifically what is meant by God in these attributes. And so as we've been going through them, I've been trying to do my best to define what is meant by each one, to define what is meant by being poor in spirit, to define what is meant by mourning, what is meant by meekness, what is meant by hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And this morning I want to do my best to try to define what is meant by being pure in heart. Because if we don't know what is meant by that phrase, we'll never be able to determine whether or not we are yielded to the Spirit of God in such a way that we're exhibiting purity of heart. The word is translated three different ways in our King James Bible. The Greek word is. It's translated pure, as we see here in our text. And it's also translated clean or clear. And so to begin with, I want to look at some of the passages that have this Greek word. Because while we don't have a lot of context here in Matthew chapter 5, these other passages do give us some context in which we can try to define what is meant by pure. But then we're also going to have to attach that phrase that follows it here in our context, pure in heart. And so the first reference, it's actually not the first reference in the New Testament, but I'm going to look at it first because it's what we most of the time think of when we think of the subject of purity. The text is 2 Timothy 2:22, and in that chapter it says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." God wants us to call on Him out of a pure heart. And just looking at the context of this passage, what is meant by having a pure heart? It means that you're following after things like righteousness, what is right as defined by the Bible, faith, charity, that's love, peace, but you're fleeing also youthful lust. Because youthful lusts are in contrast to purity of heart. And I'd like to take the time to go through a lesson and define youthful lusts. My wife, she asks me what they are all the time. And because she has done that throughout the past, there was a particular time where I went and done a little study on it, and I remember a portion of that. Fleshly lust, the word lust here is really no different than when you're talking about the works of the flesh, things like adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, anger, wrath, malice, all these things. But again, since we have this word youthful, it's talking about the desires, the fleshly desires that would accompany a young person. You define that for yourself. I'm not going to do that this morning. But flee youthful lusts. If we're following after our youthful desires, our fleshly desires, whether we be young or old, we're not maintaining purity of heart. But if we're following after things like righteousness, faith and charity and peace, then perhaps we are. Again, when we think of the subject of purity, we normally think of it in the sense of a sensual manner. Purity. But that's talking about physical purity. But there are other aspects of purity. Brother Davis, when he preached for us at the youth rally, he talked about physical purity, but he also talked about, how did he define it? Was it emotional purity? Talked about emotional purity. Guarding not just your physical body, but guarding your thoughts. Guarding your emotions and keeping them pure. And that's one aspect of purity. But as we'll see here in a little bit, Matthew chapter 5 is going beyond that. Also in Acts 20:26, this word is found. The Apostle Paul is speaking and he says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." He says, "I'm pure from the blood of all men." And he was saying that because he had not shunned to declare unto them the whole counsel of God. Had he not preached to them the whole counsel of God, then he would have been guilty, in a sense. He would have had their blood on his hands. Because it was his responsibility as a preacher of the Word of God to declare all of the Word of God, not just part of it. And if he had not went about his responsibilities in the manner in which God intended for him to, he would not have been pure. And so as you look at it in this particular context, it has to do with maintaining, keeping, being faithful with your responsibilities. And if you've not been faithful with your responsibilities, you've not been pure. Romans 14:20 also uses the word. It says, "For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense." Again, there's a contrast there which helps us to understand what is meant by the word pure. He says, all things indeed are pure, but it is evil. Purity then would be the opposite of evil. And the evil that's referenced here is you would eat something in front of someone that would offend them, encourage them to offend their conscience. You would be guilty and impure if you did that. So again, in Acts 20:26, I look at the word purity, the word pure, and I see it carries the idea of responsibility, keeping your responsibility here with doing nothing that's evil. In 2 Timothy 1:3, it says, "I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day." Again, here in this particular context, it's talking about having a clear conscience. And specifically, relating to the subject of prayer. The Apostle Paul says, "I can have a clear conscience." Why? "Because I have not neglected to pray for you." Prayed for you night and day. And because I've done that, I feel like I can have a clear conscience. In the book of the Revelation in chapter 21, the word is used twice. It's translated clear in both instances. Revelation 21:18, "And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto," here's the word, "clear glass." In Revelation 21:1 says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal." Clear. Pure. There was no blemishes, no imperfections, no spot. And that's what is meant by the word clear. But again, in our text, it's speaking of more than an absence of outward sins. It's speaking of something more than just abstaining from outward fleshly lusts. It's talking about something more than just what's on the outside. It's talking about something more than just not having committed the act of adultery. But it's talking about never even have thought about the act of adultery. Blessed are the pure in heart. You know, sometimes the world praises men who appear to be pure. And yet many times these men are only painted up on the outside. And on the inside is a wicked heart. Jesus said in Matthew 5 to not look upon a woman to lust after her. If you've done that, you've committed adultery in your heart. In your heart. The Pharisees, they had this tradition of washing their hands before they ate. And even to Jesus, they made a big fuss about the fact that his disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. But what does Jesus do? He points out to them that, you know what, there's a bigger problem than having unwashed hands, than having dirty hands. It's worse to have a dirty heart. Because you can eat with dirty hands, and it's not going to defile you. Not spiritually. But if your heart is impure, it defiles you it defiles you spiritually. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. We're not only supposed to control our outward actions, but we're supposed to learn how to control our thoughts. And when we begin to think something that's contrary to the Scriptures, what do we need to do? The Bible says we need to cast it down. We need to submit ourselves to God and to His Word. And act and think like He tells us to think. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, it says in Philippians 8. Whatsoever things are honest, there's a number of things said there, but amongst those things it says, whatsoever things are pure, think on these things. Whatsoever things are pure, think on these things. It's not easy to maintain purity of heart, as I said already, in our world. Even as I thought about this particular subject, there are some subjects I would just assume not address, lest I be considered a hypocrite. People don't know my heart, though, so it's easy to act pure, even if you're not. But maintaining purity in this world is something that I find very, very difficult. Controlling outward actions, that's pretty easy in this regard. Even not saying things sometimes that shouldn't be said, that can even be fairly easy. But to not think, not to think impure things, that's difficult. It's difficult if you're not walking side by side with the Lord. But He wants us to maintain purity of heart. Talking about our mind, our thoughts, not just our actions. Look at Psalm chapter 24 with me. Psalm 24 and verse 3. It says, who shall ascend into the holy hill, or into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. Notice the question is asked in verse number 3, who shall ascend into the holy hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? Seems to me that's just another way of saying, who's going to heaven? Who's going to go to heaven and stand in the presence of God? Who? And then it answers the question, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Psalm chapter 15 could probably be viewed as a parallel passage to this because it also begins with questions. And it says, Lord, who shall abide in Thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in Thy holy hill? Who's going to live with the Lord in heaven? And then it lists a number of characteristics of those that will abide in heaven. But here in Psalm 24, it's those that are of a pure heart. And you know what? This seems to go directly with our text. Because it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. For they shall see God. Who's going to see God? the pure in heart. You know, it says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, which in a sense refers to purity, without which no man shall see the Lord. Some people downplay and minimize the subject of holiness, but the Bible says that without holiness, you'll not see the Lord. You'll not see the Lord. And this may again muster up more questions than it does answers. Do I not see the Lord if I'm not pure? Do I not get to abide in His tabernacle if I'm not pure in heart? If I'm not holy, will I not stand before Him? Maybe it's talking about the position that we have in Christ Jesus. Because in Christ Jesus, we are holy. In Christ Jesus, we are pure. When God the Father looks upon us, He doesn't see our sin. He sees the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all of our sin. Thank God for Jesus Christ and His blood and that white garment that He gives to us when we place our faith and trust in Him. Because without the Lord Jesus Christ, without the shedding of His blood, you know what? To God, we just look as an unclean sinner. But when we by faith trust in Him as our Savior, He now looks upon us in a different manner. He doesn't see us in our sins. He sees us in Christ Jesus. And in Christ Jesus, we're pure and we're holy, and therefore we will see God. But it should be a goal of every one of us to strive to live up to the position that we have in Christ Jesus. And if in Christ Jesus we're pure and we're holy, then we should strive in our lives to live pure and to live holy. 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. There's coming a day where we'll be given our new bodies, and we will be pure and holy and perfect, and we'll see God. God wants us to strive to live up to our position here on the earth. He wants us to strive to live pure lives. Not just outwardly, but inwardly. David said in his remorseful prayer in Psalm 51, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart. He said that after he had made a mess of things. After he had committed an outward sin. But I'm sure that what he did outwardly started in his heart. You can see in that context he had problems. Looked upon a woman to lust after her when he was in a state of spiritual decline, not going out and fighting when it was a time that kings went out to fight. He let down his guard. He stopped fighting. And as a result, he was more prone to give in to the temptations of the devil. And that's what happened. And he sinned. And that's what happens to us sometimes. We let our guard down, and we're more susceptible to the world's temptations, and we give in. And if you want to see an example of what we're supposed to do when that happens, just look at Psalm 51, because what David said was, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart. Because I tell you this, if you get a clean heart, if you get a pure heart, you'll not have trouble with outward sins. That's why Jesus placed such a premium on the heart, on the inner man. The Pharisees emphasized the outward man. But inwardly, in their heart, what they thought about was wicked and sinful. And God doesn't want to just change us outwardly. He wants to begin in the inner man. He wants to begin in our heart. He wants to change us there. Because if we change there, we're going to change outwardly. I was listening to one of Pastor Hendricks' messages that he preached recently in Grafton. And it was from 1 Peter, where it talks about the believers being a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. It also says that we are a peculiar people. And he said, rather than explain to you what you can do to become a peculiar people, and sometimes that's what we would do, if you want to become peculiar, do this, do that, and the world will think you strange and odd. Dress this way, put away your makeup, this. And he said, instead of doing that, he says, I'll tell you this, if you strive every day of your life to walk as close to God as you can, the world will think you peculiar. And I tell you what, if you strive every day of your lives to walk as close to God as you can, it will create in you a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Do you want to see God in a unique and in a special way? And you maintain a pure heart. And I believe that that's what will come about. Maintain a pure heart. Guard your heart. Young people, guard your heart. Protect it. The Bible says out of it are the issues of life. It's what is most important. And when we're confronted with outward sins, yes, we need to withstand them and say, sorry, no. But we need to train our hearts as well as our bodies. Train our hearts to think right. Not to be full of envy and bitterness and anger and malice, but instead to be full of righteousness and love, peace, charity. Again, David said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. If your heart is not as pure and clean and clear as it should be, why don't you just pray that same prayer with David and ask the Lord to blot out your iniquities and to create in you a clean heart. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for thy word. Thank you for all the things that we can learn from it. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us as we examine this passage of Scripture this morning. Lord, may the Spirit of God take it and apply it to our lives as we have need. And Lord, may you indeed help us to be pure of heart, to be pure in heart. Lord, we want to have victory over outward temptations. Lord, perhaps that's much easier than overcoming temptations of the heart. God, I pray you'd help me to maintain purity in heart, that I could be a good example to my wife and my children and to this church. And God, as much as I'm able to live pure in heart, may they follow. Lord, may the young people in our congregation, may they be pure physically, but may they also seek to guard their hearts and to maintain purity there. Lord, We know that the wages of sin is death. And therefore no good can come from not maintaining a pure heart. There's no good that can come from having a dirty heart. We may not understand the terrible consequences of it, but God help us to believe that there are terrible consequences for it. May that motivate us to live a life that's pure in heart. God, just take the message, take the things that I've said and use them in the hearts and lives of your people. Lord, if there's someone here that's not saved, they've not been cleansed from their sin, may you help them to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. May you use this message to show them their need for a Savior. Lord, all of us are born into this world dirty, sin-plagued, and in need of Christ. And so if there's one that has not yet placed their faith in Him, may they do so today or in the days ahead. And I'll thank you for it. So just bless now in this invitation, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. Let's turn to hymn number 303. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. 303.